In the Christian calendar, November 1st is the Feast of All Saints. It's a day honoring not only those who are known and recognized as enlightened souls, but more especially the unknowns, saints who walk beside us unrecognized down through the millennia. In Buddhism, they recognize bodhisattvas, who are known as saints, who refuse to go into enlightenment, but instead willingly return to the wheel of karma to help others. Similarly, in Judaism, there are anonymous people praying constantly for the world to rescue it from its destruction. We never know who is walking beside us, who our spiritual teachers might be, that one who annoys us so much. Every once in a while, becomes the one who is our personal Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's a fictional saint. All Saints Day, November 1st, which is in 2 days, is a splendid, subversive, holy day. And so today we partially celebrate early on a Sunday, but I invite you also to stop on Tuesday and think of your saints. Remember both our beloved saints, but also stop to recognize who changes our lives, who teaches us lessons, connects us to the earth and all beings, who has helped to make us more fully human. Let me tell you about something that happened when this kid was 8 years old. He was looking through a popular magazine in Vietnam, where he grew up, and flipping a page, he sees the face of the Buddha, the founder of Buddhism. And something about this picture especially captivates this 8-year-old boy. In it, the Buddha is sitting on grass, and his serene smile is filled with joy and gratitude. And the boy thinks to himself, I want to know that kind of joy and peace. As he grows up, Thich Nhat Hanh becomes a faithful follower of the Buddha and is ordained a Buddhist monk. And people begin to call him Thay. Thay, which means teacher. One of Thay's main teachings is about compassion. Buddhists believe in trying not to cause any harm. And so for many Buddhists, including Thay, this means choosing a vegetarian diet. So taking a spider outside of the house instead of killing it, or rescuing a worm from the sidewalk after it rains, these are tiny acts of compassion that help to train us for larger acts of compassion, like helping refugees fleeing violence or forgiving someone who has hurt us. Thay not only taught these principles of Buddhism, he developed a concept which he called engaged Buddhism. Buddhism back in the 1960s in Vietnam was usually quite personal. Buddhists weren't very involved in politics or social movements. Sounds like another faith group we know. They believed that the practices of Buddhism were to develop inner peace and contentment. But Thay taught that those should also benefit the people and the wider community. He wanted to apply Buddhist practices to the real suffering around him. He said, "We wanted to offer a new kind of Buddhism, a Buddhism that could act as a raft to save the whole country from the desperate situation of conflict, division, and war." You see, in those days, when Tay was becoming well known as a teacher, there was a lot of suffering and conflict in Vietnam, and many young Buddhists responded to his call for a new kind of engaged Buddhism. This was a time when conflict was brewing in Vietnam, with China and the U.S. each supporting different sides of the conflict. The communists based more in the north and the capitalists in the south. And Tay's refusal to take sides upset both of the warring factions in his country, and his growing influence made the government nervous. When he was away from Vietnam on a visit to the United States, Tay visited with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and they had a joint press conference, and Dr. King spoke out against the U.S.'s growing involvement in the Vietnam War, and he also nominated Thich Nhat Hanh for the Nobel Peace Prize, which he himself had recently won. Dr. King said, "I do not personally know of anyone more worthy of this prize than this gentle monk from Vietnam. He is an apostle of peace and nonviolence." Now, coming from a similar Christian tradition, I know that Martin Luther King used the word apostle very intentionally there. That's a title in our faith tradition, right? The apostles are special people. They were the earliest disciples of Jesus who were sent out to share the good news of God's love. And Dr. King calls him an apostle of peace. The government in Vietnam was already angry with Tay for not taking their side in the war, and so while he was there in the U.S., the leaders in Vietnam decided to exile him. They banned him, and he was not welcome back into his own country. It was devastating, and he lived in exile for many, many, many years, until quite recently, I think it was about 2018, that he was allowed back in to live out his last few years. I wanted to just share with you one of the teachings that he shares in a wonderful book called, I've lost it now. I think it's Living Buddha, Living Christ, or something similar to that. He shares the story of a time 20 years ago, he says, at a conference I attended with theologians and professors of religion, an Indian Christian friend told the assembly, "We are going to hear about the beauties of several traditions, but that does not mean that we are going to make a fruit salad." Well, when it was time for Tay to speak, he said, "Fruit salad can be delicious." He said, "I have shared the Eucharist with Father Daniel Berrigan, and our worship became possible because of the sufferings we Vietnamese and Americans shared over many years." Some of the Buddhists present were shocked to hear I had participated in the Eucharist, and many Christians seem truly horrified, he says. "To me, religious life is life. I do not see any reason to spend one's life tasting just one kind of fruit. We human beings can be nourished by the best values of many traditions. But sharing does not mean wanting others to abandon their own spiritual roots and embrace your faith. People are stable and happy only when they are firmly rooted in their own tradition and culture. To uproot them would be to make them suffer. There are already enough people uprooted from their tradition today, and they suffer greatly, wandering around like hungry ghosts, looking for something to fill their spiritual needs. We must help them return to their tradition. Each tradition must establish dialogue with its own people first, especially those young people who are lost and alienated. During the last 15 years, while sharing the Buddha's Dharma in the West, he says, I always urged my Western friends to go back to their own traditions and rediscover the values that are there, those values that they have not been able to touch before. So as he shared his beautiful faith, he encouraged people to return to their own faith and rediscover the richness in their own and other traditions. So that's one wonderful saint. And I just wanted to briefly tell you about a personal one of mine. Yesterday, I attended a memorial service for a beloved person in my life, named, well, to me, she was always Auntie Beth. I think her picture's there too. Beth was well into her 80s when this picture was shot, which is just fairly recently, a few years ago. And we were very sorry to lose her. She was probably my mom's best friend. And our families were wonderful friends for many, many years, going back to, well, to even before I was born. Because Beth and her husband Jack were working with the church in Japan when my parents arrived there in 1962. And they were part of a small group of folks that really helped them find their way. And Beth and Jack and her family have become closer to us than many of our own blood relatives. And so her children are like brothers and sisters to me. And she was a very beloved aunt. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what made her special. One of them was, actually, the smile you see there is not nearly as big as many of the smiles that she was famous for. That was the first and last thing, I think, that I remember about Beth. She had such a warmth and sparkle in her eyes as well as her mouth whenever we showed up. We lived in separate cities, not fairly far away from each other in Japan, but we would see each other two or three times a year. And whenever we went to visit, the welcome we got was so marvelous. And I know from her life that that was not limited to just us beloved kids that she knew well. She shared that kind of warmth and welcome with everyone she met. In fact, whenever we went to stay over there, like this was a small Japanese home in Osaka, it was tight quarters when the four of us came to visit. But you know, sometimes others would come in too, unannounced perhaps, and they would be welcomed with the same open arms. That house was always hopping and busy, full of people coming and going, because her hospitality was of biblical proportions, as my dad said at the memorial service yesterday. She had a way of making everyone feel welcome and included, regardless of who they were, what their struggles were, and how others might exclude or mistreat them. Beth embodied the love of Christ in a way that I've hardly seen anyone else do. She truly was an incarnation of the love of God. Sometimes we speak these days about internalized racism or internalized sexism or homophobia. Well, Beth had internalized love, internalized, inclusive, all-embracing love. In that sense, she was pretty Buddhist, like Tay might have taught. She had a strong ethic of doing no harm. There was one time then a bunch of us were playing croquet out in the East Coast where my parents spent their summers. And if any of you know anything about croquet, if you hit someone else's ball with your ball, you know what you get to do, right? Do you know? You get to put your ball up against theirs and whack it so hard that their ball goes flying off in other directions. Puts them right off the track of where they're supposed to be going. Well, when my dad hit his very good friend Jack's ball, it was the other way around. It was Jack hit my dad's ball, and Jack was ready to whack it really, like, into the river. And she was like, "No, Jack, you don't have to do that." He did. But he got scolded right good. Such was her practice of compassion on both a small and a large scale. So I wanted to just share a little bit about Beth, hopefully as a way to help you think of your own saints. Some saints are a bit more famous, like Thich Nhat Hanh. He's written many books, and I recommend them, especially the one I mentioned. And other saints, you know, Beth was famous within a certain community. People knew her to be an extraordinary person. But like so many saints, they don't get the official title, and they're not famous, but they change the world. They change our world. And so today, as we remember all of our saints, as we name many of them, we give thanks with such deep gratitude for all that they have meant to us and continue to mean to us. Amen.